line or into disorder, to publicly show that you disagree with the group, or to walk to the beat of a different drummer. All defined breaking of ranks. Are you tired of the same old college football rankings radio show? Introducing Breaking the Ranks. Join host Tom Marquez, co-host Rick Riggin, Matt Poling, and Jordan Malley for a breakdown of this week's college football playoff rankings. Call us right now at 917-889-8516. Sort out the college football rankings mess, and we don't offer your regular analysis from a cliched perspective. Of course, just like The Balance, this is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. We bring breaking news, commentary, scores, stats, standings, audio, and highlights. We will provide great interviews and sound bites. Now here's your host of tonight's Breaking the Rank, Tom Marquez.
All right, I guess that's my cue. My name's Tom Marquez, El Presidente. You know me as the host of The Balance every Saturday morning on the Balance Radio Network. It is so good to be live here on Indiana Talks. And you know, if you're going to wonder, well, hey, maybe tuning in on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, we're a little bit later because we're on what's called a tape delay on Blog Talk and the Balance Radio Network. But every Tuesday night, we'll be live right here on Indiana Talks. And it is fantastic to be all over the state of Indiana and the nation for that matter. And we're going to talk some college football. That's absolutely for sure. So joining us now, you know him from Saturday mornings also, is my faithful co-host, that one radio guy, Mr. Rick Riggin, who wants to grow up and be a football field streaker. Rick, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. Great to be here on Indiana Talks Tuesday night live, and I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Absolutely happy Thanksgiving, but I don't know that you have a lot to be thankful for. And honestly, Jordan, I think he's going to be the streaker because I think Notre Dame got ate up out there at the Green Monster in Boston. Jordan, the intern, is doing a fantastic job for us and certainly did the open for us. And you may have noticed we've got a new logo that we're going to be officially launched at the first of the year. And hopefully, if all goes well, we'll be launching officially here on The Balance on Indiana Talks. But Jordan, Notre Dame got ate by the Monster, and we're going to get into that conversation when we get into our top four. But certainly, what are your thoughts about what you saw last week with Notre Dame and the Boston College?
Yeah, guys, it's great once again to be on the show. But I was doing good up until when that ranking show came on ESPN, and now I'm flustered and I'm frustrated because I just don't understand why Notre Dame slipped to as far as they did, especially after winning in Boston on the road with 5-7 backups. These whole entire rankings have me confused, so this should be an interesting show.
Well, absolutely, and then we're going to go ahead and we'll talk to Mo and Matt Poling real quick before we take a quick break, and then we'll get back, and we're going to dive into all four of these top four in the college football rankings. Mo, the BS Sports Show. Mo, Notre Dame, has been less than impressive, if you will, over the last couple games. Wake Forest and, in my opinion, just played like pure crapola, if you will, last week against Boston College. Should we read anything into the tea leaves with this?
Well, I don't know if you can too much. We talked to Brian Kelly, the Notre Dame head coach, yesterday, and one thing people have forgotten, Boston College is horrible offensively, but they're the number one ranked defense in college football and still will be after this week as well. So, Notre Dame turned the ball over too much, and that's one thing Coach Kelly spoke about, is that they've got to take better care of the football. That game should have been way out of reach early on, but Notre Dame couldn't convert, and they kept turning the ball over. That's one thing that defense does that gave them that number one ranking, is they stripped the ball and they pulled the ball every time they tried to make a tackle. And they did well, and Notre Dame couldn't hold on to the football. They have another injury to deal with. So it could be rough sledding for Notre Dame against Stanford, but I wouldn't read too much into last week's game.
All right. Well, Matt Poling, our college football fan, calling us down from Southern Indiana. Matt, it's always good to have you chime in as a college football fan, and certainly as you've seen these top four ranks come in out tonight. What are your overall thoughts or your initial knee jerk reaction to what you saw with the college football rankings?
All I would say to any team that felt like they were left out is what Aaron Rodgers said to Packers fans, is relax. There's a big games going on this weekend, and a lot's still going to change.
Well, it very well might be the calm before the storm. My name is Sean Mark Wazell, Presidente. Myself and the breaking rank will be right back right after this, live on Indiana Talks. Well, I thought we were going to a break. What? Maybe not. I guess we're not going to go ahead and go to a break right now. That's my fault. So, see, I'm still learning the clock here. So, no problem. So, we'll get right into that. Well, let's go ahead and Rick, without further ado, go ahead and tell us who the top four are. And let's go ahead and get into the college football rankings on Breaking Rank right here on Indiana Talks.
All right, we got number one, Clemson. Number two, Alabama. Oklahoma comes in number three. They jumped four spots up to number three. Iowa gets in finally at number four. Michigan State five after that big win against Ohio State. And Notre Dame drops all the way down to number six.
Well, absolutely, Jordan, and you hear that? You heard this? You heard that, Jordan? You heard the top four? Not really any two big surprises, but when we look in one and two, but when we look at three and four, yeah, we got all kinds of shake up and a lot of shake and bake. And as Matt just said, it's just relax, everyone, because it's going to change again real soon. But one of the things that I think most notable, Iowa and Ohio State out, could we be looking at a Big Ten championship champion in this week's top four?
Definitely. And you know what? I think you guys are right when you guys say that don't look too much into these rankings right now. We still got 2 weeks left of football to play, plus the championship games. And looking at the Big Ten, it's going to come down to Iowa versus either Michigan State or Ohio State playing in that Big Ten championship, and whoever ends up winning that game, I think, is going to end up ultimately in the top four. I don't think the committee is going to snub the Big Ten out of any of those teams, especially if Iowa does end up falling and losing. I think they're going to be out of the top four. They've got to still win out.
Well, and it's going to be, here's the thing. When you look at Michigan State, and Michigan State, Mo, controls their own destiny, and we want to get into the breakdown of this top four while we've got some time to do that. But one of the important things to look at is Michigan State beat Michigan and beat Ohio State. So when you look at if Michigan State goes on to win the Big Ten championship, how important is that one-loss scenario that we've talked about so often in the circles of college football rankings?
Well, it's going to depend on what the committee wants to do. If you look at a team, how they were ranked when they played them. Because remember, Michigan State played Oregon at the beginning of the year. It's not the same Oregon team that it was at the beginning of the year, but do you look at the team at what they were ranked when you played them? Michigan State played its best to toughen up the schedule. Oregon is not an easy game ever. They beat Oregon. They will have beat them if they go win through. They will beat Iowa, who have been ranked high. They'll beat Michigan, and they will beat Ohio State. How do you not put them in, even with that one loss on a fluky play, which could have been one of the worst calls ever until this week's call, Wisconsin, ever, in a football game? Michigan State's got that win as well. I think Michigan State, one loss, winning all the way out, it will be in the national championship picture.
Matt Poling, we look at Clemson number one, Alabama number two. Obviously, no big surprises there. I'm sure that there's a lot of people that, and you included, would want to see Roll Tide at number one. Oklahoma, right there at number three, and Iowa number four. I am not surprised at all to see this 3-4 combination. And I know I texted Rick and Jordan earlier that this is exactly how I thought that it might play out. So when you look at this week's committee, And as you said, relax. And, you know, it is fun to talk about this. And we certainly do want to take your calls. And we'll give you the number here in just a minute. I know Rick's got it standing by there to give you the number. And I'm still memorizing. I don't want to give you the number from the old one. But Matt, number one, Clemson. Number two, Alabama. Number three, Oklahoma. And number four, Iowa. A little bit of shake and bake there in the 3 and 4.
Yeah, the way I see it is the committee is saying, hey, Clemson and Alabama are the two best teams in the country. 3 through 8, you got to show us something. You got to prove yourself if you want in this top four. And I don't think it's a big deal. Iowa, Michigan State, you have to expect that they're going to end up playing each other, and the winner of that game will be in. Notre Dame, Oklahoma, they're just kind of saying, hey, you don't play in a championship game, so let's see what you got. Oklahoma's got Oklahoma State, and Notre Dame's probably got the toughest game this weekend out of any of these teams playing Stanford.
Well, absolutely, and I certainly believe that there's a very good opportunity there for Stanford to beat Notre Dame, and that's really going to mess up a lot of people, especially Notre Dame fans, and thinking that they were going to get to a national championship playoff here. All feelings aside there and all knee-jerk reactions aside there, Rick, let's get into Clemson. Clemson plays North Carolina. Very well possible that North Carolina could beat Clemson, and, you know, we did talk a little bit off mic about the strength of schedule. Certainly Notre Dame has that strength of schedule in their favor, but it certainly looks like that the committee is putting more weight on other variables, and one of those, possibly when we look at Oklahoma being where they're at now, is they don't want to snub out the Big 12 like last year in that Big 12 deja vu that we talked about. So when we look at going forward, Clemson, North Carolina next week, you know, we could see another shake and bake in Alabama get up to the number one slot, which by all rights and by all accounts, they probably do deserve.
Yeah, the thing with Clemson playing against North Carolina, the ACC championship game, is I truly believe North Carolina can win that game. And then if that scenario happens, what do you do with Clemson? And then what do you do in North Carolina? Do you put a one-loss ACC champion North Carolina in that top four and drop Clemson out? You know, their signature win is against Notre Dame, but that scenario plays out. What the heck do you do with Clemson?
Well, and that's a very good point. If North Carolina beats Clemson, what do you do? Jordan, the intern, giving us a call. Well, actually from Chicago, but down at IUWIUX, learning the trade, and we're glad to have Jordan certainly on the balanced team there. But when we look at Clemson and North Carolina, this could be a big shakeup, or do you think it's all a bunch of ado about nothing?
Yeah, I think Clemson has proven themselves all year long that they are the best team in the country. As far as talent-wise, I mean, I guess you could put Alabama up there, too. And it's a coin toss between the two, I think, between Clemson and Alabama. So I think people are getting a little excited with this North Carolina and Clemson matchup. I think Clemson's going to win. It might not be easy, but they're going to win.
Well, this is breaking rank. We're on the air on Indiana Talks, and 260-355-5151 is our digits. If you want to jump in and join the conversation, we want to hear your thoughts. Certainly if you're listening to us all across the nation or on Indiana Talks, but if you're listening to us on Blog Talk, well, unfortunately that number's not going to work. 260-355-5151. Mo of the BS Sports Show. We look at Clemson and North Carolina and that matchup. Is there anything in that matchup that we should be looking into? Or, you know, Clemson goes, it takes care of business against North Carolina. They stay at number one next week.
I mean, I think at this point that I would look for this team to continue to roll. They've played very well so far. And, you know, this is a spot they're not used to being in recent years, but they've played well and they've dealt with the pressure now. They've been number one in these rankings for, what, we're in week four, week five. You know, if they were going to crumble, I would have seen them crumbling earlier. I think Clemson continues to roll.
Well, and you know, we'll see what happens. And when North Carolina is no chump of a team, in my opinion, that's a team also that can do a lot of collateral damage. They're not. I don't think that they would ever put themselves in. Let me rephrase that. I don't think North Carolina winning is going to put themselves in a position to be in a national championship hunt, but it sure can rain on Clemson's parade. Matt, Clemson, North Carolina, what say you?
I agree with Jordan. I cannot see. I think North Carolina will give Clemson a really good game, but at the end, Clemson's going to end up winning out. But I also think Clemson might be a little overmatched when it comes to the top four teams.
Breaking Rank, that's the show you're on Indiana Talks. We're joined by my co-host on Saturdays. Make sure you catch us every Saturday morning between 9 and 11 on the Balanced Radio Network. And, of course, right here on Indiana Talks between 10 p.m. and 12 a.m. Rick, we've been talking about this matchup, and it's way too early to make anticipations and expectations and anticipations of who we think the national champion is going to be. But we look forward and we go on down the list here, and we look at Alabama. Obviously, as you mentioned, Alabama probably has the toughest game of the schedule, but there could be some conversations there as far as with Stanford and Notre Dame. We'll get into that game in a moment. But Alabama is taking care of business. Alabama is doing what they should be doing to be a national championship team and definitely to be in the national championship game.
Yeah, you know what? Alabama is looking like the best team in the country, but it is the boring answer, really, to just go ahead and say Alabama's the best team in the country. So for argument's sake, you know, they had the bad loss against the Admiral Akbar's Ole Miss there, Matt Poling. And if you look at their schedule, where's really their signature win?
Well, you know, you make a very valid point, and we'll throw this on over to Jordan. Jordan, and I give Rick a hard time about, you know, Notre Dame and the strength of the schedule, but we look at Alabama, you know, coming in at with Charleston Southern Buccaneers. But let's face it, they are 9-2 against a 10-1 Alabama team. Now, again, they could be just good enough to mess up a going to the strength of schedule. I guess that would be the question, Jordan. How much weight do we put into strength of schedule when it comes to Alabama versus Notre Dame and the committee and putting together this top four championship playoff rankings?
Yeah, you know what? Every single week, it seems to differ with the committee as to what they strengthen and what they see as weak. I mean, strength of schedule-wise, you're looking at Iowa, who has a strength of schedule of 67, and they're the number 4 team, and Alabama's number 2, and they have a strength of schedule of number 5. So, I mean, are they going purely off of strength of schedule, strength of record? No. They're looking at several other factors, including, I guess, how teams win now, because if you drop Notre Dame out of the top 4 for winning a game on the road, you must have to look at how these teams are winning the games, the way in which they're winning. I mean, to me, I'm still baffled, but as far as Alabama goes, the only way I see them going to number 1 is, like you guys said, if Clemson ends up slipping down and losing one of those games. That's the only way I can see them sneaking that number 1 spot.
Well, absolutely, and that would be one road and one avenue. When we look at this, Mo, of the BS Sports Show, certainly on Yahoo Sports Radio and Fox Sports as well. I know you guys are getting ready to start a deal up there, you and Elvis are. But here's the thing: what I want to find out from you. When we look at the strength of schedule, and particularly this game this time of year, I'm okay with a team like Charleston Southern Buccaneers playing Alabama. But this time of year, don't you think that it should be the best teams playing the best teams? Or, again, are we reading too much into this strength of schedule component, as it is just a component that the committee considers when developing their top four championship rankings?
Well, I mean, I think that you should try to schedule the best. The one thing the Big 12 did get right this year is trying to play all their best teams at the end, which obviously helped Oklahoma this week. But, you know, you look at the Charleston team in Alabama play, it could be said that Iowa had an easier game with Purdue, who is a horrible team as well. At least Charleston was, 9-1 or whatever, 9-2 now. But, yeah, I mean, I think you try to schedule the best of the best. And you as a competitor, you want to do that. You know, you've seen Michigan State tweak their schedule. When Notre Dame made the deal with Texas, they were a much better team then. And I think you'll see it more come into play, because Iowa, with the loss in the Big Ten Championship, had they had a much stronger schedule, could probably sustain that. But with the schedule they've had, not so much. So I think you'll see more teams start to schedule stronger. And I think we should read into it because I think it does make a difference.
Make sure you follow us on at Breaking Rank 1, at T-Balance, certainly in our other social media outlets that we have, at T-Balance. And, you know, before the end of the show, we did tweet out a picture. I did pay my bet, that's for sure. Matt Poling, a college football fan, goes to work every day, takes good care of his family, and a college football fan. That's what we like. We want to hear from you. Just give us a call right here on Indiana Talks. We'd love to talk with you, 260-355-5151. And I know we got to get you a break here, but Matt, real quickly, I know Alabama's kind of your team there. You look at Alabama, and we've kind of been dogging on them playing Charleston, the Buccaneers. What are your thoughts? Exactly who they need to be playing right now, or maybe they need to be playing somebody more in their league?
Well, it's hard for me to justify Alabama playing in a small school like that, but at the same time, I look at their schedule. They played Wisconsin earlier in the year when Wisconsin was a ranked team, and then they go through the SEC. And a lot of people like to downplay the SEC, but the SEC is a strong conference, and LSU has lost three straight games, but how much of that is their players giving up after Alabama took them to the friggin' Woodhouse? And, you know, Leonard Fournette was everybody's, oh, he's the Heisman winner, he's the next, you know, Bo Jackson, whatever you want to call him, and Alabama made him look like a small child. So, Alabama, they'll be fine. They're going to win. They'll be in the top four.
Matt, I heard you take – what was that you said? Took him out to the stone – what did you say, the Woodhouse? Is that what you called it?
Oh, yeah. They whatever the ugliest building on anybody's property is, that's where they took him.
You know, it reminds me when I was a kid, my grandfather used to tell me, hey, go cut your own switch and meet me out by the shed, if you will. So maybe they, you know, and then my grandfather proceeded to do an Adrian Peterson on me. I'm sorry, bad joke. I that was bad. Make sure you give us a call. I couldn't help it, guys. I honestly went there. I did go there. 260-355-5151 is our digits. If you want to talk to us, we're getting ready to take a break. And we get back. The drama's just beginning. Myself, that one radio guy, Rick Riggin, Jordan the intern, Mo from the BS Sports Show, and Matt Poling will be right back right here on Indiana Talk.
Badass Teachers Association gives voice to every teacher who refuses to be blamed for the failure of our society to address poverty and inequality. We are an education activist group of over 53,000 nationwide who are fighting against the destruction of public education. We are calling for an end to school closings, high-stakes testing, Common Core, lack of funding, and lack of resources for our children. Please join us in our fight on the web, Facebook, and Twitter. We're the BATS, the Badass Teachers Association.
Doug Martin's Hoosier School Heist exposes the wealthy people, theocrats, hedge fund managers, and corporations who are stealing our Indiana schools. Learn about felons, plagiarists, banksters, dictators, child abusers, and even two prostitutes. From Muncie to Munster, professors, firefighters, and mayors are calling this book a must-read. One reviewer even said, "This is one of the scariest books I've ever read." Go to HoosierSchoolHeist.com and buy Doug Martin's Hoosier School Heist
now. If you listen
now.
To Indiana Talks, chances are you enjoy your freedom. Claude Nannies and Fishers is not only the best destination for food, fun, and spirits, but it's also a great place to watch sports. Owner Bill Smythe has also been a statewide leader to protect smokers' rights. Claude Nannies is located at 141st Street and State Road 37 in Fishers, Indiana. Check them out on Facebook. Claude Nannies, the best place for food, fun, and spirits.
This is Stephanie Miller from The Stephanie Miller Show, heard weekdays live 9 a.m. to noon right here on IndianaTalks.com. We know we're outgunned in the Indiana media. That's why Indiana Talks also offers all your favorite progressive voices. Bill Press, Tom Hartman, and Leslie Marshall, along with great Hoosier voices like Charlie White, Liberty Talk, Just Let Me Teach, and the T.J. Thompson Experience. Indiana Talks, it's talk radio without the Tea Party crazy.
Ed Robertson here to tell you how you can get a free first ride with Uber, the mobile app that connects you with the ride at the touch of a button in just a matter of minutes. Uber has drivers in cities across the country and around the world, while payment is seamless and cashless. To download the app, go to uber.com and enter the promo code TVConfidential, all one word, and you will receive a free first ride up to $20. To sign up directly with the promo code included, go to uber.com/go/TVConfidential. uber.com/go/TV Confidential.
At McDuff Realty Group, their top priority is helping you achieve maximum results from the purchase or sale of your home. With over 20 years of marketing and sales experience, Joe Shoemaker and his team will provide you with an aggressive, passionate strategy that delivers the results you expect. For real estate services in Central Indiana, call Joe Shoemaker at 317-413-8501 or visit online at McDuffRealty.com.
All right, and welcome back to Breaking Rank. My name's Tom. Mark LaSalle, Presidente. 260-355-5151 is the digit to get to us live right here on Indiana Talks. We're talking college football rankings, right or wrong. We're sorting out the mess, whatever this committee is coming out up with. Myself and that one radio guy, you know him as my co-host on The Balance every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11. Jordan, the intern, doing a great job for us here on The Balance team. And Mo, the BS Sports Show of Yahoo Sports Radio, Indiana, and Fox Sports as well. And Matt Poling, our college football fan who joins us every week to help us break this down. Now, we broke down number one, Clemson, and the implications of that, possibly the North Carolina game, and then we broke down Alabama and their upcoming game. So now we go into the shakeup, the drama that has happened. Oklahoma gets into it. Now I tell you what a great spot. We'll start with you, Rick Riggin, that one radio guy, Rick, the number three slot, and I know that you're not going to be too happy with the number three and four slot, but it is what it is. Is Oklahoma a number three? What say you?
Yeah, you know, Ohio State, you know, they just lost that. You know, Michigan State really dominated that game, and that's why Ohio State's not there anymore. And in the case for Oklahoma, it's more that what have you done for me lately thing, where they have beat Baylor, they beat TCU now the past couple weeks. This is what's fresh in the committee's minds. I don't know, maybe they're hearing some chatter of the fans of why, you know, they jumped Oklahoma up that high, but that's where they're at three. I mean, I guess if it plays out, they beat Oklahoma State this coming weekend. You know, they just might stay in the top four.
Well, Jordan, you got to be watching this game because tomorrow is pickup Wednesday, the day before. At least if it's anything back when I was in college, I don't do this anymore. But the day before Thanksgiving, I know all the college kids used to go out, and you know, you're always guaranteed one a year that you're going to be picked up. So, or you can pick up anybody. So you know, the Sooners they played the Horned Frogs. I'm sorry. So we look at this game coming up with Oklahoma and TCU. Again, number 15 TCU, 9-2. Oklahoma number 5, 10-0 from last week. Well, of course, now they're not number 5, they're number 3. But when we look at that matchup, that I believe that's who they play. If I'm wrong on that, Jordan, certainly correct me, but go ahead. Oklahoma, your thoughts on the number 3 slot?
Honestly, I was really shocked. I had them in my rankings, I had them at number 5. They were just out. But no, they previously played TCU. They won 30-29. That was last week. They're getting set to play their rivalry week, Oklahoma State, who's currently ranked number 11. So as far as the committee goes, I was actually really surprised that they threw a Big 12 team in there. But like I said a couple weeks ago, and I got scolded by Mo for saying that the committee wanted a Big 12 team in there when they weren't going to leave one out, especially after leaving one out last year. But this still remains to be seen with a couple of weeks of football still left to play. But I'm telling you guys right now, Baker Mayfield, that guy is unbelievable. I had Leonard Fournette as my pick for the Heisman Trophy, especially early, the way he was doing things to teams. It was just almost unfair. But as Matt Poling said, Alabama made him look like a little child. So right now, Baker Mayfield's my choice as Heisman Trophy winner. Oklahoma, if they beat Oklahoma State, who I was really surprised to see drop down to number 11, they're going to secure a spot in that top four.
Jordan, I gotta push the pause button here for just a second because you pulled a politician. You went right over Pickup Wednesday. Is it not a big deal anymore? Am I showing my age? You know, we're doing this No Shave November. I've got this beard going. My granddaughter says I look like Santa Claus. So now I've been talked to into keeping this beard, along with my fiance Michelle Jones and our producer over at The Balance. So, you know, I don't need to go out the day before Thanksgiving to pick anyone up. But it used to be that the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, all the college kids go out and we called it Pickup Wednesday. Is that not the case anymore?
Actually, you know what? It's now called Black Wednesday. They call it Black Wednesday. They refer to it that is because everybody goes out after getting off of school, getting off of work, and everybody goes and blacks out. So I don't know how I like that name or not, but yes, it certainly is a thing still.
Well, that's good, and you know, go out and have a good time, get yourself snockered before Thanksgiving, and do that walk of shame when you walk into the family household and as they get ready for Thanksgiving dinner. Mo of the BS Sports Show doesn't have to go out on Pickup Wednesday because all you got to do is, you know, look at Mo. He's a studly man, let me tell you. So when we look at Mo, when we look at this TCU and Oklahoma, obviously Oklahoma Sooners. Number three slot, no big surprise here for me. In fact, that's exactly what I called. But a lot of people, a lot of haters, if you will, if we can use that term, aren't so happy with Oklahoma Sooners. I think in a lot of the aspects of it, you got a lot of things going with the committee. And one of the things the committee likes is that eye test, the eye candy. And Oklahoma is good eye candy for the committee, especially after last year. Mo, are you with us? We may have lost Mo. I know he said he was having some phone issues prior to the show. So we'll go ahead and go on over to you, Matt. Matt Poling, you don't have to comment on Pickup Wednesday unless you just want to. But we look at TCU Horned Frogs, and I will correct myself. I called them the Horny Frogs with the TCU Horned Frogs against Oklahoma Sooners. You know, what say you against this match?
Well, I mean, to defend Jordan, I'm a married man with a family, but I feel like I had fun on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. That's a good bar night.
All the bar nights, maybe New Year's Eve and St. Patrick's Day, that's gotta be right up there for Blackout Wednesday or whatever you want to call it. Myself, I am just the responsible guy. I go to work and I come home and behave myself. But you know, Oklahoma Sooners, you know, and I did mention that they are with that matchup. But when you look at the number three slot where they're at coming up into this next week, I should have worded it that way. What are your thoughts on Oklahoma?
Well, like I said earlier, Tom, I honestly think that the committee is just challenging 3 through 8. They're saying, hey, you know, 3 through 8 is interchangeable at this point, and they're just saying, hey, prove you're worthy to be in this top four. And Oklahoma's got a game. Notre Dame's got a game. And you even look even deeper, and you've got Michigan State, you've got Ohio State, Baylor. So it's all going to work itself out. Oklahoma, they're a good team, but I still go on the same fact that their one loss is against a Texas team that Notre Dame blew out.
Well, here's the thing, Rick. Rick Riggin, that one radio guy. We look at Oklahoma beating TCU, but by 1 point. So now we talk about another component. that one-point win was enough to propel them. In the eyes of the committee, going back to what I said a while ago, eye candy, you know, maybe that's what they're thinking about, you know, Blackout Wednesday. It's, you know, maybe they started a little bit earlier, but Oklahoma is some good eye candy for the committee. It makes them look good in front of America.
Yeah, the thing with Notre Dame, you know, Ohio State lost, Notre Dame's dropped out. Notre Dame really, the past couple weeks, has been trending downward. They didn't look all that great. They looked very average against Wake Forest 2 weeks ago, and then this past Saturday was just ridiculous against Boston College. So what Oklahoma's done these past couple weeks, I can see why the committee did put them in the top four, and you're right. It's eye candy. It's what have you done for me lately?
What have you done for me lately? And Iowa apparently has done a lot for the committee. And in my opinion, you know, Iowa, when we look at the strength of schedule, Iowa certainly does not have that big of a resume or that important of a resume. But you look at what they've done, and you look at the fact that they're in the Big Ten. They very well could win the Big Ten championship. Let's look at the scenarios of Iowa. Let's go around the panel here, and let's talk about Iowa. And I know that they're probably not your favorite team right now because of the fact that they pushed Notre Dame down out of the number four slot. That number four slot is the carrot that the committee dangles in front of everybody that could or could not be in there. Ohio State gone. Okay, so that, to me, with the Big Ten, Rick, when we look at the Big Ten, and a lot of people say, well, the Big Ten is a weak conference. The Big Ten is not worthy of a national championship. And you're taking a select few people to put them in there. And again, and it could very well change. But Iowa does not have an impressive resume. Certainly does not have as an impressive resume as Notre Dame. And if you're a Notre Dame fan or if you follow Notre Dame, there's that brand of Notre Dame that the committee also has to look at. Brand recognition, as we talk about a lot in marketing, brand recognition is huge. And there's not a bigger brand for a national championship than the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. But yet Iowa, with their unimpressive resume and all, managed to get the number four slot this week.
Yeah, when you look at the Big Ten as a whole, since these rankings, these playoff rankings that came out a few weeks ago, the Big Ten has had two teams in the top five, you know, ever since these rankings that came out. And I think they're rewarding Iowa. If you look at their schedule, tell me where their loss is. And that's where the reward is coming from right now.
And I think that Mo is still not with us right now. So if he gets able to get back on with us, we'll get him back on. Certainly make sure you catch the BS Sports Show. So Jordan, the intern. Jordan, I give you a hard time, but you've done a great job for us, especially in a lot of our graphics. And you might have noticed it on our social media. By the way, go to our social media right now. Follow us on @ Breaking Rank 1 and @ T-Balance. But Jordan, we look at Iowa, the Big Ten. Obviously, you go to IU, big IU guy yourself. We saw IU really have a good win on the road. I mean, it was Maryland. Let's say what it is. It was Maryland. We got the Oak and Bucket with IU next week. So the Big Ten, and really in a lot of ways, this is when the Big Ten starts straightening their tie, if you will. And this is when the Big Ten starts combing their hair and putting on deodorant. This is the time of the year the Big Ten starts to shine. Typically, it's Ohio State, but we look at Michigan State now in that mix. Iowa there, but you know, Michigan State right there knocking on the door as well. So we could see a lot of action with the Big Ten in and out. And going back to what Matt said earlier with the interchangeables, Iowa is one of those interchangeable teams. But yet, with their unimpressive resume at all, as I mentioned a while ago, they managed to make the top four.
Yeah, I mean, let me first break down the Big Ten for you real fast. And I'm going to throw a theory question at the end for all of you. To kind of jump onto this, first of all, Iowa, they've, as far as the record goes, their strength of schedule, I get it, it's not that good. Understandable, they haven't played anybody worth mentioning besides, I mean, the fact that Wisconsin was ranked number 19 when they played them. And other than that, they, in Northwestern, maybe a win at Northwestern could be one of their highlight showcase games, but like you said, all it's going to take is one loss for this Iowa team to get bounced out of the top four. But let me throw something interesting at all of you guys here.
So Michigan, in the Big House, they're on a four-game winning streak. They come in at that last spot in the top 10 at number 10. If they go beat Ohio State, Michigan State loses, that puts Michigan in the Big Ten championship game against Iowa. Now, if that happens and Michigan ends up beating Iowa, what do you do with Michigan?
That's a very good point, and that is a very good, valid question. Here's my thing about Michigan. And, you know, going, and I think Rick will like me saying this because he mentioned the fact earlier to me, for somebody that says they're a Notre Dame fan, you sure hate on Notre Dame a lot. You know, in all reality, guys, and we've kind of went through our team so we can kind of hodgepodge our conversation. Certainly give us a call if you want to call in and join the conversation. We have about, I would say about 10 minutes that you could call in and give us a call. 260-355-5151 if you're listening to us on Indiana Talks. We want to hear your talk. We want to hear your conversation. We want to hear your thoughts. And you know what? I did make a bet, and I did keep my bet. We put it out on Breaking Rank 1 at 7 o'clock. I did the best I could do. The bet was that if Notre Dame got into the top four, because last week, it was all camp run amok when it come to who the actual rankings were. And ESPN spoofed us, and we fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. We picked up the dollar bill with the fishing rod. We did it. We fell for it. Guilty as charged. But nonetheless, we had some great conversations. But the bet was that if Notre Dame came out to be a number four slot, I would dress up as Jim Harbaugh and do a picture out on social media. And I did that, so it's out there on our social media. And so if you're wondering, why did our great and handsome host dress up like Jim Harbaugh with a beard in front of a Christmas tree? Well, you know, hey, you got to do what you got to do. I'm a man that pays my bets. So that said, yeah, I know you think that I dog on or I don't like Notre Dame. That's not the case at all. The thing about Notre Dame is going back to that brand. I don't think the brand recognition. I think it plays very. I work in marketing in the real world. It pays my mortgage, so I understand how important brand recognition is. I get it. I understand it, but it should not be a component in identifying who's going to be a national champion. And I know the strength of schedule's there. I know Notre Dame plays some very, very good teams, and they're going to be playing another one coming up. But Michigan, you know, hangs out in the Big Ten. And going back to what Jordan was saying about Michigan, what do you do with Michigan? Let's play a little scenario here. Let's say that Michigan State, perhaps, maybe me. We don't know who's going to be in the Big Ten. We can pretty get a close speculation who's going to be in that Big Ten game. It's going to be one, you know, two of four, you know, two of either Michigan State, Iowa, Michigan, or Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. So when we look at that, what do you do with Michigan? Throwing a dart in a blind dart in a dark room, and Michigan manages to win a Big Ten championship over Ohio State, what do you do with Michigan?
Yeah, to answer Jordan's question, that scenario, that would actually cause a Big 12 scenario from last year. That'd be the worst case in the world, and you might not agree with me, but it's going to be true. That'd be the worst case in the world for the Big Ten, because that would put no Big Ten teams in the playoffs. If a two-loss Big Ten champion, yeah, that would leave them out. You got all these little one-loss teams stacked up in front of them. Those will be the teams to fight over that spot that Iowa will leave open, and that will leave the Big Ten out completely.
Well, we're live on Indiana Talks. Love being here on Indiana Talks, guys. We got about 8 minutes left. If you want to give us a call, 261-355-5151. Make sure you're following us on our social media, because this conversation goes on all week long on @BreakingRank1. And @TBalance, and of course, catch the balance, myself and that one radio guy, Rick Riggin, and Jordan the intern. We get into NASCAR, and we're going to be talking a lot about NASCAR this week, saying goodbye to Jeff Gordon. Well, not goodbye, but goodbye in the race car. And certainly Kyle Busch, congratulations to him. And those are all the conversations that we'll get into over on the balance. But a great conversation that we're having now. So let's get into it. Notre Dame, while we still got some time, we'll start with you, Matt Paul. polling. Notre Dame gets pushed down and gets pushed basically aside. Did the committee snub Notre Dame? Should they have been the number four team?
I don't really think it matters because I think, like I said earlier, the committee is just challenging all the teams from 3 to 8 and say, show me what you got. So if Notre Dame wins this weekend against Stanford, I think they're in. So,
well, okay, hypothetical question here, Rick. Stanford's a very good team, and certainly Stanford's – going back to what I said earlier – Notre Dame should be playing Stanford right now. Absolutely should be. Alabama should be playing teams of their caliber, in their wheelhouse. So Notre Dame plays Stanford. Stanford comes in and plays a good game, beats Notre Dame, or vice versa. Is how the world looks at Notre Dame decided next Saturday, this coming up Saturday after Thanksgiving against Stanford?
If Notre Dame loses this game to Stanford, I still think the season is a huge success. And I know all the Irish fans right now, including myself, it has really bitter taste in our mouths right now. And, you know, the passionate Irish fan in me wants to really go negative right here, but I won't do that. I won't do that at all. But, beginning of the season, you know, this was Everett Golson's team. DeShone Kizer is a starting quarterback now. He is really their third-string quarterback. So if you used to tell me before the season that Notre Dame would have their third-string quarterback, their backup running back, lose Jerron Jones, and a handful of other key starters to injury for the rest of the season and still be in the national playoff picture, I think for most Irish fans like me, we would take that.
Jordan, the intern, and you know, we can certainly talk about Notre Dame. I want to get into some other topics here with college football while we got about 3.5 minutes left so that we can get all this conversation in and the topics I want to cover. Ezekiel Elliott, very, very, in my opinion, here we got a kid that could, in a lot of ways, win a favorite to win the Heisman Trophy this year, is whining about his coaches and the losses and about it being his last game. I tell you what, if I was Urban Meyer, I would say, you know what, it is your last game. Don't even bother suiting up. And I'm turning to you, Jordan, for this question because you go to IU. Obviously, not a big fan of Ohio State. Doesn't do IU any favors. Well, neither does anybody for that matter. But IU doesn't do IU any favors. But we look at a team like Ohio State, and we look at a kid like a great player like Ezekiel Elliott gets on, and Urban Meyer says, well, Mike's putting his face. No, it wasn't. I'm not going to buy that crap, that BS. And you said it yourself last week, Jordan, that Ohio State was a bunch of posers. We can add crybaby to that resume.
Definitely. And you know what? To be more specific, I called them a clown team because they are. That's all they are, is a bunch of clowns. That team was way too confident, especially with the strength of schedule being so weak. They thought they were going to win out. They thought they were this big, mighty team that can play with Alabama, can play with all these teams that have unbelievable talent on their teams. And they went and proved themselves wrong. I mean, I keep bringing this up every week, but it holds true. Looking back at their schedule, I mean, when you're down to a team like Northern Illinois at halftime and other poor plays by Ohio State throughout the year, it's just kind of pathetic. And you know what? Ezekiel Elliott, I could go on and on and on and on and on about this guy, but to come out and go to reporters and say, this is my last game playing for this school, I'm done after this, that's pathetic. As a player, that is absolutely pathetic. You are showing your program the biggest disrespect by doing that. You're showing Urban Meyer, who is arguably one of the best coaches in college football, you're basically slapping him in the face and telling him, you know what, I'm going to go make money. Screw this team. I don't want a part of it anymore. Just because they're a bunch of babies and they lost. You know what, Ezekiel Elliott, you can go ahead and cry both pregame, every single game, because I don't know if he caught that or not. I don't know why he was crying, but he was. Tears were streaming down his face before the game started against Michigan State. Not sure why he was doing that, but then to go onto the media and people sticking mics in his face. Right. Come on. He could have easily went to social media.
Right.
And
absolutely.
The same thing.
I agree with you, Jordan. And I wish we had to, we could carry this on over to the balance. I wish that we had time to get into this conversation, but I want to get some final thoughts. We'll start with you, Matt Poling, college football fan, Michigan State. Do they control their own destiny? And certainly yes or no. And go ahead and give us your final thoughts. And we'll start with you with the final thought roundabout.
Yeah, if Michigan State wins this weekend and beats Iowa in the Big Ten title game, they're in. They're in the Final Four.
Rick, Michigan State, control their own destiny and final thoughts.
Yes, they do control their own destiny. Watch out what you say about Zeke Elliott when he's dancing in the end zone next year in a Colts uniform.
Touche. Jordan, the intern, real quickly, final thoughts as we're winding down here, breaking rank here live on Indiana.
Yeah, after Michigan State lost that one game, the College Football Committee basically banished them and dropped them all the way down to somewhere between 10 and 15. I don't exactly remember where they put them. But then all of a sudden they're now in the top five. The committee needs to explain how they're doing this, because I don't understand. They're taking teams and they're throwing them in positions where it doesn't make any sense. It's like Right. They're restarting every week. Absolutely,
guys. And you know, we're certainly up against the clock here. So final 30 seconds of this. Guys, make sure you're following us on Breaking Rank, and make sure you listen to us on The Balance every Saturday morning, 9 to 11, and right here on Indiana Talks from 10 to 11. From 10 to midnight on our Encore show. And after the first of the year, hopefully everything will be live here on Indiana Talks. Guys, we've had a great time. Remember to catch us every Tuesday night right here on Indiana Talks. I'm out of here. Deuces.
I got my head checked by a jumbo check. It wasn't easy, but nothing it is. No. When I was young, it's not my problem. It's not my problem.
Friends, this is Bill Press from The Bill Press Show. Heard weekdays live, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on IndianaTalks.com. Hey, we know we're outgunned in the Indiana media. That's why Indiana Talks also offers all of your favorite progressive voices. Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, and Leslie Marshall, along with great Hoosier voices like Charlie White, Liberty Talks, Justin Oakley, and Just Let Me Teach, and the T.J. Thompson Experience. Indiana Talks. It's talk radio without all that Tea Party crazy.